Shalom, Rabbi. Good night. Travel safe. It's dark out there. Don't trip. Good night. Shalom. Good night. Who would have thought? Him. Coming in. Knocking at this door, at this house. The rabbi, the ruler of Israel, wanted to see the rabbi from Nazareth. Wow, what a night. What a night. You know, I serve them tea. I make good tea. And I serve tea, and I wanted to be a good servant, so I just stood around close enough. I didn't mean to hear everything, but I kind of did. The conversation was interesting. Nicodemus turned to Jesus and said, "Teacher, we know you come from God because nobody does the signs that you do unless God is with him." I seen the signs. He's not wrong. They're amazing. You know, but there was something on his voice. It's like he knew what he saw, but he did not know what he saw. Like, he didn't quite get it. I honestly don't know exactly what I seen. And then Jesus turns to him and says, "Surely, surely, I tell you, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." Born again. Nicodemus was thinking the same thing because he turned again. How can this be? How can a man be born again? Can he enter his mother's womb and be born again? I don't understand. How can this be? That's a good question. And he's a smart guy. How can that be? And then Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I tell to you, unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God." I've been thinking about this all night. So it's not about physical. It's a spiritual thing. I even understand that. I mean, I heard it in the synagogue, people talking about prophets speaking about a new heart and a new spirit. That's what he's probably talking about. And then Jesus said, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believe shall have eternal life. Yeah, I remember that too. The serpents, venomous people getting bit, dying, and whoever looked at that serpent that Moses put up as a symbol, they didn't die. Wait a minute. The Son of Man, who is this man? That is a question, isn't it? Who is this man? People have been asking themselves for centuries, for thousands of years, who is this Jesus? Open your Bibles to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And I'm going to read this story. So follow along with me. The story is found in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 21. Amen. We're going to do this old school. If you have your founder in your Bible, say amen. Amen. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's one in front of you. Okay? Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you can hear a sound, but you do not know where it came from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I said to you, we speak of what we know, and we bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things that you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works shall be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Heavenly Father, we come before you, opening the scriptures, your revelation. Lord, we pray that you will speak to us. So, Holy Spirit, we invite you right now to come and let us hear. Open our ears. Open our mind. Open our heart. Change us as we contemplate who Jesus is. In the blessed name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. I titled that sermon, Bound by the Law, Freed by Love. You know, I started thinking about this passage. We had a men's retreat, and men's ministry, we believe that men's ministry is for men 7 to 107, because we believe we're raising a new generation of men to know God, to walk with him, to lead in the community, to lead their families, but especially to lead in the church. And as I was working with the kids, because I had the privilege, if you hear me say that I got stuck with the kids, I don't mean I got stuck with the kids. I had the privilege of working with the kids. And I asked the children, if you tell me, it was a very spiritual exercise, when I say, if you tell me a Bible verse from memory, I will give you candy. I figured D.L. Moody did it, why I couldn't try it, why not? And then what's interesting, because a pattern began to come up. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And the kid next to them said the same one, including my kid, say the same one. And that new kid who had never come to church before heard 20 kids saying it, so he knew exactly what to say, for God so loved the world. And that meant he got some, like, you know, bubble gum by the foot or whatever it was. There was a lot of repetition. And when I asked, what does it mean? That got a little slower and the answers quieter. This is a beautiful story, and the details in it, John does not just have in there to fill up the page. They are important. And I want to point out a few things. This actually could be a long sermon, but I just want to get to the heart. So walk with me as we go here. The first in your outline, in your bulletin, it's very simple. Enough to ask, not enough to enter. The story opens up with the teacher of Israel, ruler of Israel, a teacher of the law, a respected rabbi who comes in the dark at night because he has seen this rabbi for Nazareth come in and doing so amazing stuff that nobody can explain. And at best, he knows enough to identify that the works that Jesus was doing, the signs and wonders, had to be related with God because they were good works, amazing works. And he had enough understanding to know that he wanted to talk to Jesus. So he chooses to come at night. Why would he come at night? Well, scholars and preachers throughout the time have said because he was ashamed. He wasn't sure. It was a scary time to be identified. You know, he had a reputation to maintain. He probably, all those, he probably had big doubts. He wasn't probably ready to commit to examine all the everything that this rabbi from Nazareth named Jesus had to say. So he identifies as, we know that you come from God because what you're doing. We understand enough, yet not enough to commit, yet not enough to come in. And Jesus starts this line, makes these two statements we have repeated over and over again over the years. And he says, truly, truly, I tell you, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Do you pick up on that? Nicodemus, he can see the signs, but he's not understanding why. He cannot even comprehend what does these signs really mean. He knows the prophets. He can probably quote them backwards and forwards. He knows the books of Moses. He understands the law. He probably knew how long, you know, you could walk before you broke the law. He knows how many days for cleansing. He probably knew everything you could ask him regarding the law. He knew enough to come close to the kingdom, but not to enter the kingdom, not to see, not to understand. And the word here in the Greek, it really means not just see physically, there he is, or there she is, or there is that, but it's to understand the why, to comprehend. I don't know how many of you remember that when you accepted Christ, before that, you used to read scripture, you read the Bible, and you say, I don't know what this means. And then you had enough understanding of God's love for you that when you came to Christ, all of a sudden you can understand. You could see. And what Jesus is saying, you need to be born again. There has to be a change before you can even comprehend what I'm doing here. You're going to be attracted by the signs, and Jesus made signs to bring people to understand, but that was not enough to enter into the kingdom. In his ministry, he will feed thousands. Many will be healed, but not many entered the kingdom. Not many understood what was going on, because even though they saw the signs, they didn't understand the signs. And Jesus said, there has to be a change. And when Nicodemus said, I don't get it. How can this be? Jesus tells him, Nicodemus, you are the teacher of the law. You're the senior pastor of my people. And you don't get this. Say, how much more, if I tell you earthly things and you don't understand, what about if I tell you heavenly things? And what happens is that Nicodemus' initial reaction is, he goes to his logic, to his understanding. Well, how can an old person be born again? Can he go again into his mother's body and come out and be born again? That doesn't make sense. It's not logical. But here, before you do hard with Nicodemus, he understands human logic. He has been studying the law. But that's where things stop. Because he's trying to perceive a spiritual thing through earthly things. You know, actually a commentator makes a note that he could have been a little more philosophical. Maybe he was saying, how can an old man, you know, go back to being young again and change the way he thinks and the way he behaves? That's not what John says, but even if you go that far to say, you know, don't be too harsh on Nicodemus, he was being more intellectual than we get him, still he's stuck. He's stuck trying to see what Jesus is doing through his earthly lenses. And he doesn't get it. And then Jesus goes a little further. He said, well, hold on. Truly, truly, I said to you. And when he says truly, truly, he says, this is a matter of fact. It actually literally says, amen, amen. Right? This is the way things are. Unless you are born again of the water and the spirit, you cannot enter, not just see, but now enter the kingdom of God. And the water is there. He understood this because it was part of the cleansing rituals. And in order to be cleansed, you have to recognize that you're what? That you're dirty. And as you look back, as you understand that in order to be cleansed, you need a bath. Now, you know, when you go Arctic blast, I got the opportunity to go a few years with my kids, and the kids don't understand the need for a bath. Parents pack them a towel and soap and they change their clothes, and I'm like, why? They're not gonna take a bath for 36 hours. Don't waste your time. They don't think they're dirty. And when Jesus is saying you need to be born of water, and born of spirit, he's saying you have to recognize that you are dirty, that you need to be cleansed. And God gave them this cleansing ritual from the very beginning so that they understand their need for him, the need for repentance, the need to be cleansed. And of the spirit, you know, in the next chapter, chapter 4, Jesus is going to expand more on this whole worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And spirit is that part of us is eternal, right? God is spirit. In order for us to have a relationship with God, you need to be born of the spirit. You cannot have a relationship with God in the flesh. And that's why Jesus said, hey, whatever is born of the flesh just gives birth to more flesh. The law gives more to the law. Have you seen the law? I gave you a few books. You have expanded into ongoing, never-ending library of laws to keep the law. And when you think humanly, you always think how to be better. And even us, you know, how can we do church better? How can I be more spiritual? When I'm counseling somebody, I say, well, Pastor, I just have to try harder to stop sinning. And he said, that's just flesh, giving birth to more flesh. You can never start sinning. Been there, done that. You need to be made new. You need to be born from the Spirit, because right now your spirit is dead. Nicodemus knew enough to ask Jesus, who are you? You must be from God. How can this be? But because all he knew was the law, and he had not seek beyond that, he had become an expert of the law, he was bound to the law. He was bound to the law. We are in verse 9 in the story, if you want to follow. And Jesus said, there's something you have to understand, Nicodemus. Your law would not take you beyond what you do. Because when we rely on the law, and by law I rely, I'm going to say this more plainly, when we rely on religion, on tradition, that you can only go as far as what religion and tradition takes you. And that's why people become disillusioned with the church sometimes. I work in a community. A lot of our families grew up in very traditional, very religious homes. You can even ask somebody, when do you, you know, my wife showed me a reel when they asked a man, he said, when did you come to know the Lord? When were you born again? Oh, I always been a Christian because I grew up in a Christian home. Even before I was born, my mother was Christian. Well, maybe your mother is Christian, but you're not. Right? Religion doesn't get you anyway. Religion just gets you tired. Religion gets you tired, discouraged. And you try and try, and you're like, I keep messing up in the same thing. Well, that's because you are relying on the law to do something it wasn't meant to do. I love when Paul says, I didn't know I was a sinner until I got the law. Isn't that amazing? I don't know how many of you, but I have built many bookshelves from IKEA. And I have built some of them backwards, upside down, because as a good man, manly man, who needs instructions anyway? They don't even have words. They just have little people in there. But after looking at a bookshelf, and it looks, there's something weird about that. It seems like the top is at the bottom is at the top. I became an expert on those rules. Now, I know what that little man means, and the one holding the screwdriver and the one going like this means call for help. Right? And I have an expert, but it doesn't matter if I'm an expert, that I still cannot build a bookshelf from scratch. Right? I still need somebody to kind of put it together, and I can kind of assemble it, and I still kind of get it wrong, even with the instructions. When you become an expert in religion, it's kind of like that. You become an expert in the rules, but unless you take those rules and you understand what it means, your life cannot be changed. And of course, the illustration falls apart after that. But the point is, Jesus is saying, the law would only take you so far. If you keep you bound, it never gives you freedom. And at the end of that section, he brings him up to this beautiful reminder of the wilderness. Numbers 21, you probably know the story. Israel has just had a bad attitude in the wilderness, and God is judging them and sends venomous serpents, and the serpent starts biting everybody, and people start dying. And finally, God gives them this symbol. He says, hey, Moses, make a serpent of bronze and put it on a stick. And before you try to figure everything out, the message is simple, because he said, whoever looks at that serpent up in the stick on the pole, on the stand, they will not die. It's not complicated. He said, trust me enough, God. He said, trust me enough to put your eyes where I tell you to put them, to do what I tell you to do. And I'm sure some people still refuse to do it because they got all religious. Oh, that looks like a symbol. That looks like an idol. That looks like whatever. So I'm not going to look there and they die. But those who trusted God, he said, okay, God, if you tell me to do that, I'll do that. And then he takes that and he says, listen, there's a time where the Son of Man must be lifted up. Must be lifted up. And that's where there's a change from the law to the love. And when he says must, what he really means is like, this is not an option. And we know on this side of the cross, he's speaking about the crucifixion. He's speaking of himself being lifted up in the cross. And what we should take away from that is like, the cross was not a mistake. The cross was not a, you know, a change in plans, an adjustment, in God's plan. It was the plan all along. And it wasn't just to save some, but it was to save whosoever will believe can have eternal life. And Jesus has changed the conversation here from the law and what is possible, not possible according to the human mind. And he's saying, let me tell you something, because the birth, the spiritual birth is just a real of as anything. Just because it's spiritual doesn't make it less real. Have you ever thought of that? Sometimes I think we have become so sophisticated that we are afraid to speak of spiritual things as something that require an active response. Oh, that's spiritual. You know, give me some practical. Some of the most practical things are spiritual. And Jesus said, the Son of Man must be lifted up so not just Israel can be saved, whoever looks at him can have eternal life. Isn't that beautiful? And then he does the switch. We are in the third point. We are free by love. And that's where the famous verse comes in. For God so loved the world. After my experience with the kids at the men's retreat, I sat in my office at the institute and I was just, this was keep coming back. I don't know why. I think the Lord knew that this day was coming, probably. I don't know. I'm pretty sure he did. But he's like, for God so loved. Don't move too far. I couldn't move beyond that. I couldn't move to the point that I made it my password. I changed it since then, so that's fine. God so loved me. That word so picks so much, has so much meaning. He's talking about the magnitude of love that humanity do not really understand. We live in a time when we don't know what love is. We have distorted what love is. Love today in our culture, in our time, means if you do whatever I want, then you love me. If you affirm me on whatever I want to be affirmed, then you love me. The moment you challenge me with truth, with God's design, then you don't love me. And I would like to say that people who know of God have stayed strong and firm, but that's not the case. Even those who know the word well enough have floundered in their understanding and telling people, God loves you so much, he made you. How do we know that he loves you? You know how we know God loves us? He gave his one and only son. Unique. There's none like it. He was not created. He's begotten. And as we read, as our worship team read at the beginning of John, he was the word from the beginning with God. He was God. Through him, all things were made. God loved us so much that he put some real skin in the game. Because of you. For you. That's true love. Not somebody who's going to tell you yes to every crazy idea that crosses through your mind. Every foolish thought that comes saying, oh, yeah, you're fine. That's not love. They don't love you. Somebody's not willing to walk with you, to sacrifice their time and even their life for you. They don't love you. Not the way God loves. We live in a world that needs to know that God loves us so much that he gave his son to die on the cross for you. And if whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I catch a short clip from Billy Graham's, one of his sermons, where he says, God never sent anybody to hell. We sent ourselves to hell. Isn't that true? Because the second part is that God did not send his son to condemn the world, but that the world may be saved through him. But whoever rejects and does not believe in the Son of God in his name has been condemned already. Listen, without Jesus, we're dead men walking. You don't have to watch some show about, you know, the undead or whatever. Look around, look at our world. You pass them every day. They're dead people walking because they have not accepted and believed in the name of Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world. Can you see it? He gave you creation. Even the storms are beautiful. Unless your basement got flooded or your roof flew away, you may not feel the same way about it. But it's the power of God. God so loved you. But he expects you to respond to him. I'm not telling you not to read your Bible. I'm not telling you not to study hard. I'm not telling you to come every Sunday. What I'm telling you, come study. But look around and seek God's love. He gave us the law so you knew where you were, but then he gave us his son so you could know where you could be. The law is restricted to what you can do for yourself. But when you accept the love of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross for you, then you can be set free so that he can do what he only can do in your life. And just because it's spiritual, it's not less real. Actually, it's probably more real. It's the only thing that's going to last. Whosoever believes in him is not condemned. Verse 18. But whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. Who is that man? That's Jesus. And I don't know where you are in your walk with the Lord today. Maybe you're trying to make sense of these scriptures and sermons and Bible studies, and you're trying to figure out, and you're like, doesn't make sense, it doesn't come in. Listen, if you're looking at it with the flesh, it's not going to make sense until you're willing to let the Lord open your heart and show you. But he's knocking at the door. Later on in the book of John, we find Nicodemus again. And this time he's bringing 25 pounds of spices together with Joseph at Arimathea. He asked for the body of Jesus after he was crucified, after he was lifted to put him in a tomb, and Nicodemus come with the spices needed to prepare his body for burial. And this time, he does not come at night. He comes in the middle of the day. Everybody saw him. He believed. Somewhere along, I don't know where, but somewhere between chapter 3 and the crucifixion of Jesus, Nicodemus believed. And we're going to see him one day. The question is, Do you believe hell is real? That was not designed for you. Heaven is, in the presence of God is real. That was designed for you. But the only way is for you to enter. You need to be born again of water, repentance, cleansing of your sins. And God needs to change your heart. From a hard stone to a hard flesh, he wants to put his spirit in you. I don't know how much time you have, because whether Christ comes back or he takes you first to glory, today is the day of salvation. For God so loved you. Can you see his love? Why not accept him today? Why not believe in him today? Put your trust. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, because you're so good and patient with us. Lord, I'm amazed at the magnitude of your love, that you will give your son to die on the cross for the sins that I committed, so that I may be born again and not condemned. Lord, it's your love that set us free. And I pray, Lord, if somebody's here that needs to be set free, that they will take care of that today. It is in the blessed name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, your one and only Son, the creator of all things, the one who has been with you since the beginning of times, who died on the cross, resurrected, and one day will come back to get us there. We pray that we give all glory. It is in his name that we pray. Amen and amen.